1888. Terror grips the streets of London. Jack the Ripper is on the prowl tonight on Deep Fat Fried!
It's just like, I don't want to see the Wicked Witch of the West big green titties.
Yeah, you do. Maybe, don't lie, TJ.
I mean, maybe if I'm like jerking off with some porn on the internet or something, like, oh yeah, Wicked Witch.
What do you think I meant when you were having a sandwich?
I don't not at this part of the fucking list, Scotty! Not at this part of the fucking list, Scotty! Not at this... Get off of me! Not at this point! This man is the most beautiful thing that's ever walked the fucking planet Earth, and you're trying to cut him now!
TJ... Good. Have a stroke or something? What's going on? Fucking actually.
You missed a name in plain fucking sight, moron.
Because I wrote it with an A when I searched
You're an
for it.
You're an idiot,
DJ.
So I'm an idiot that you can't fucking see what's right in front of your fucking face?
Whoa. Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
Boy.
Bro.
Crazy fan-made intro.
Yeah, man. Fans making intros and shit up in this motherfucker.
Just makes me want to... You know what? I'm not going to say anything.
I will say one thing.
What are you going to say?
Don't get used to it.
Whoa. Why should I get used to it?
Because some greater things are to come.
Oh, my God, dude. You guys have no fucking clue. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, if anyone guesses it, I'll be like, damn, they guessed it, but I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to be fucking surprised.
So, Jack the Ripper. You know, when we took this assignment under our belts, whatever the fuck you want to say.
Whenever we selected this.
Yeah, you know, we thought, man, this should be an easy one. Jack the Ripper, yeah. There's not too much there, right? Just a guy killed some people. Wrong.
Yeah,
there is so much information available about Jack the Ripper. It's fucking insane.
But just the references to Jack the Ripper in every single fucking type of artistic media.
I was gonna say historical. I mean, just cultural. I mean, the cultural impact. We kind of underestimate. We're like Jack the Ripper. People don't know who that is. So it'll be like, yeah, I know. I've kind of heard of that. You know, maybe I've heard of that, but maybe you don't know much about it. And the more that TJ and Paul like dived into this fucking concept and this guy, we were just like, what the fuck? There's so many fucking movies. There's so many books. And there was people cashing in on this shit, not just years later, but like immediately when it happened. Like there was novels coming out about this shit going.
I mean, like the research was overwhelming. Like, I mean, of every topic we've covered, I never thought Jack the Ripper is going to be the one that's just like, holy shit, look at this. But like, there's just like, if you go to Wikipedia, there's just articles within articles within articles. Like so much of it's not even on the Jack the Ripper page. You got to go to like extra pages and shit.
And even the Jack the Ripper page, like when it comes to things like how many movies have been made with Jack the Ripper in them, there's not a comprehensive list of that anywhere. There's just too many of them to list, I guess, in one place. No, like I could not find that list, and it's that way on almost everything. Like there are just references to this dude in every corner of our culture, and they're just continuous too. He doesn't seem to lose steam. 130 years after his crimes, he's still pretty much just as much he's more of a cultural phenomenon now than he ever has been.
I mean, he kind of just was like the archetype of like, this is what a serial killer is.
Yeah.
I mean, like in terms of like the media and stuff, I mean, I don't think there was like a media figure as like a serial killer as a media figure before Jack the Ripper. Now, maybe I'm mistaken about that. Maybe there were some other fucking ones that were in the papers, but like when you really start to fucking list off the serial killers, like he's the one that's like, okay, that's the fucking the guy who fucking, you know, created the archetype.
Yeah,
basically.
You have this mystique around
because he's never caught.
He's never caught. There's never any information that even gives you a really good identity. It's all rumor. When you read into it, it's rumor. So no one has any fucking idea who this guy was. There's a lot of guesses.
It's all myths, all rumors.
So, I mean, that's the perfect thing. I mean, the legend, it's like a real legend. You know, it's something that you can, like, this really happened, so there's something real. It's not just total bullshit. We know these people are murdered.
Well, I'll tell you, TJ and I split this up between the historical facts about Jack the Ripper and his crimes and what we actually know about the guy or person that did this. And I and the cultural shit. And if there was anywhere near as much information on his end, then...
Dude, I mean, I have to... I mean, there was so much that I just had to leave out because it's like, okay, I can only... I mean, the only stuff I was able to really cover in, like, the allotment of this show is just the fucking... the strict facts that were super pertinent. The victims, their lives, how they were killed, what condition they were found in. I've got all that stuff. Then I've got a list of victims that are maybe attributable to him, but probably not. But still, they're speculated to maybe be other Jack the Ripper victims. And I've got a few letters. I got a couple letters, each of which has some sort of pedigree of maybe being Jack the Ripper. Taunting.
There were a lot of hoax letters.
Oh, hundreds. At the time of these crimes, there was literally hundreds of hoax letters being sent in by people trying to capitalize on the fame.
When you talk about facts, I mean, the facts are almost like what just happened. It's like this person was murdered in this way. But the facts, I mean, about Jack the Ripper, like, there's not really much there. So, I mean, you kind of have to say, are these letters real? It's like we don't have any indication to determine what the sex of this person was. It's assumed to be male. But then it's like, then you're relying on human memory because, like, they're kind of cobbling this together from eyewitness testimony of, like, well, yeah, we saw this prostitute and we saw this guy. You know what I mean?
All right. So,
how much of it's actually fact is what I'm saying?
I mean, I got a good bit of fact here.
Okay.
So, Jack the Ripper, never identified, obviously. There wouldn't be this mystique around him if he had been. He was a killer who stalked the streets of Whitechapel. District in London.
It's in East London.
His reign of terror was very brief. It was just a few months in 1888.
For all we know.
Yeah, I mean, for all intent, for the five confirmed kills that were definitely Jack the Ripper were all in 1888 and all in the span of a few months. His reign possibly lasted to 1891. If you think even one of the other killings is attributable to him, then you got to put him a little bit further.
So, like I said, I've seen a mix of sources. Some people say 1888 to 1891, and some are listed as, like you said.
But the five canonical victims, the five victims that are considered to definitely be him, were all in 1888.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. There are some other crimes that were attributed to him by various sources that happened until 1891. 1891 is the last time there was any murder attributed to Jack the Ripper in any serious way. He was actually at first not even called Jack the Ripper. He was called the Whitechapel Murderer, which that probably wouldn't have rung through history. Or Leather Apron.
That's strange.
I don't
leather
know.
Apron.
I tried to figure out what the fuck Leather Apron was even about. I could not track down why
he was called
like that.
Butcher.
Yeah, I'm thinking that because
like a butcher would wear a leather apron.
That makes sense.
That makes sense to me. He typically preyed on prostitutes. His modus operandi. What the fuck is going on with you and your mic there, Paul?
I don't know, dude. That fucking topsy-turvy microphone stand is just continuing to deliver its value.
Okay, so he typically preyed on prostitutes. That was his thing. All but one of the women killed were prostitutes. His modus operandi, the way you could recognize him, his calling card, is he would slit their throats.
Usually in one or two very aggressive slashes.
And, yes, super aggressive cuts. He would cut them open, and in the case of at least three victims, rip their guts out.
They were severely
sometimes keeping them as keepsakes.
Yeah, severely mutilated bodies. Like we're talking,
and increasingly
destroyed.
Increasingly, you'll see as we go through the victim list. But his crimes get increasingly more brutal as he goes along. The mutilations become more intense as he
gets better at it.
Well, it's not even a matter of really him getting better so much as just like you can tell he needs to go farther every time to get the same thrill.
Like if he fits the pattern of a lot of other serial killers, you know, after they've killed one or two, they really start to hit their stride. You know, things become more extravagant as they get more comfortable doing.
You speak
what
from
they're
personal
doing.
Experience, of course. As you know, now the first guy that looked at him, his handiwork, said, "You know, this shows the anatomical knowledge he's showing here. He has to be some kind of surgeon or something."
But, you know, not necessarily, because anyone that's working with animals or butchering them also
has
sort of an idea.
He said that because there was a surgeon, there was a fucking guy, a coroner or whatever the hell they were called back in those days. I don't think they were called coroners, but the equivalent of a coroner that looked at the stuff and said, okay, if he was removing these organs in the dark, he must have a surgical knowledge. Now, they did bring on another guy, Dr. Thomas Bond. Thomas Bond, who disagreed with that completely. He wrote in a letter to Robert Anderson, Secretary of the Prison Commissioners, that in each case, the mutilation was inflicted by a person who had no scientific nor anatomical knowledge. In my opinion, he does not even possess the technical knowledge of a butcher or horse slaughterer.
So
two very divergent opinions on whether this was a guy who had a knowledge of what he was doing, or whether he was just some schmuck living
out. Does that come down to kind of what you want to believe in the character,
though?
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, I think that's more of like the people that kind of have this, he's a gentleman. He's like, he could be a lord. He could be nobility. He could be whatever. It's someone
it definitely,
sophisticated.
That definitely seems to be the resonant thing. Because, you know, especially when we get into Paul's stuff where he put this research together, you're going to see that most of the depictions of Jack the Ripper kind of portray him as, you know, a gentleman. A lot of times he has a cane.
He looks like he comes from society.
He's a high society guy. Now, if that could just be total bullshit. It probably
is. Divergence in whether or not he was a surgical guy or not reminds me of
what's that?
You remember those murders at Robin Hood Hills, the guys that were accused of the satanic ritualistic murders. The West Memphis Three. There were experts in that case that testified to two completely different realities about those bodies. Some of them said, oh, this was done in a very deliberate manner, the way that this boy was castrated, the way that this stab wound, you know, it's very ritualistic. And then other experts were like, no, this looks like somebody that had no idea what they were doing. They just hack and slash, very deep wounds of varying shallowness, you know what I mean? So there's like, really, like, it really does come down to what you want to believe about this person in a lot of ways. That hasn't stopped modern times.
He killed in a very poor area. He killed very poor people. And then the narrative is a really rich fucking guy is doing this shit.
Well, I mean, it was a poor area, but it was known to be frequented. I mean, like, it was a place you could find a prostitute.
That's what I'm saying.
Gentlemen did go to this area.
But that's
to
what I'm
get
saying.
Laid, you know.
I mean, yeah, it's very possible from that angle too. But I'm saying it could also very well, you know, a class thing. It could be like this rich sophisticate's coming and killing all these people.
Yeah, he could have just as easily have been a pimp.
And then you have another narrative.
I'm just saying, like, he could have been. He could have been the pimp of some of these chicks. You know what I mean? Like, investigation wasn't exactly what it is these days back then.
Yeah, there's no DNA. It's kind of just like, what did people see? Did anyone see anything? No, we don't really know. We can make some guesses.
So like I said, He didn't originally have the name Jack the Ripper. That actually came from a letter that's known as the Dear Boss letter. It was mailed to the Central News Agency of London on September 27th, 1888. It was written in red ink. I can show you guys the letter right here. This is the letter. Now, I know that it's probably pretty hard to read this sort of handwriting with our modern sensibilities, so I'll go ahead and read a transcript I have here. This is a two-page letter. It's not that long, though. Dear boss, I keep hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores and I shan't quit ripping them till I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and I want to start again. You will soon hear of me with my funny little games. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger bottle beer over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue and I can't use it. Red ink is fit enough, I hope. Ha ha! The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send the police officers just for jolly. Wouldn't you? Keep this letter back till I do a bit more work, then give it out straight. My knife's so nice and sharp, I want to get to work right away if I get the chance. A chance. Good luck. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper. Don't mind me giving the trade name. P.S. Wasn't good enough to post this before I got all the red ink off my hands. Curse it. No luck yet. They say I'm a doctor now. Ha ha. Here's page two. Same letter.
Weird. So this is very different from the other letter that they consider to be credible.
Right. And we're going to get into that one in a moment.
I mean, this letter almost seems kind of comical to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I mean that it's like, it doesn't really seem like someone that was doing this would write a letter like this to me. But I mean, that's obviously,
I mean, you cannot, I mean, like, you don't know what the mentality of the person is. Now, yeah. The police at the time immediately considered it yet another fake letter.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they were getting so many. They were getting a ton of hoax letters from people claiming to be the Whitechapel murderer. For some reason, people just get their jollies like, ooh, there's a crazy killer on loose. What if I write a taunting letter to the police? It just like occurred to everybody like, yeah, that sounds fun.
I mean, it still happens too.
Sure. Yeah. And like when there's a high profile case, people will come in and confess to it. And then, you know, there's like people who are just wired to want to somehow share the killer's spotlight or something. They considered it a hoax, but the next victim after that was a woman named Catherine Edows. When they found her, her ears actually had been mutilated. And there's a line in the letter about the next job I do, I shall cut off the lady's ears and send them to police for a jolly and all this.
Right.
So they started to maybe think, well, maybe this is from him. Maybe this is an actual Jack the Ripper letter.
Was this the origin, the first
yes,
Jack the Ripper?
This is the letter from which the name Jack the Ripper is derived. So even if this person isn't Jack the Ripper, this letter is still
responsible.
It's responsible for this person. Even if they're not responsible for the crimes, they're responsible for inventing the name Jack the Ripper. So they're a marketing genius, and it makes sense because the prime suspect for writing this letter was journalists. The one journalist even confessed to it, supposedly, saying they wrote it to sell more newspapers, get more publicity.
Well, this is the first kind of big media serial killer event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the media was probably having their sales are, I'm sure, were through the roof because people have this intrigue like every night. Like, did he kill someone else? What's happening? What are the police doing? Are they closer to catching him? I mean, it's just like getting your first like true crime story that people are kind of addicted.
Well, you've seen that movie Nightcrawler, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Where the journalist is, you know, he's not just covering news. He's actually trying to create events and, you know, use deceptions and stuff to make things happen that he can then be on the scene of and report on. And it's almost kind of an offshoot of that kind of behavior where some journalist is like, oh, I'll write this creepy letter that I think the deranged killer would write, and we'll publish it in the paper and we'll show it off to everybody and we'll send it to the police and all this other stuff. And oh, it's going to be...
Because, you know, I'm sure that was running through all the London newspapers at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like it was a media circus even then. Huge media circus around Jack the Ripper, even though he was the Whitechapel murderer then. But I think pretty much from here on, Jack the Ripper as a name really just stuck. Right. You know? The final verdict sort of on this letter is that it's a fake. It's not widely believed to be really from him. It's widely believed to have been from a journalist who wanted to draw more attention to the story and get some more sensationalist headlines out of it.
So then is it possible that Jack the Ripper himself committed the murder after this was published just to try and throw people off his trail?
Could be.
Corroborate a letter that had nothing to do with him.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's
he didn't cut the ears off and send them to the police or anything. There's another letter that probably bears looking at because it's the letter that is the most likely to have actually been sent from Jack the Ripper. It's known as the From Hell letter. You might remember the term From Hell from the graphic novel that was by Frank Miller, I think, or was it Frank Miller?
Frank Darabont.
Okay. And then there was a movie based on it loosely with Johnny Depp and stuff. Really terrible movie.
Yeah.
This is that letter.
Okay.
I'm going to pull that up for you guys. You see, this is not as well written in terms of handwriting and stuff. It looks, these big splotches you see, they say are indicative of someone who maybe has never really, is not really used to using a pen.
Okay.
The spelling, I know you probably can't see it here, is abysmal. I'll just highlight some of the spellings as I go. It starts From Hell. Mr. Lusk. We'll get into who he is in a minute. Sor. It's just S-O-R. I don't know if that means sorry or that's supposed to be sir.
Sir, probably.
I send you half the kidney. There's no Y at the end of kidney. It's just K-I-D-N-E. I took from one woman, prazarved it. It's like a fucking bad internet commenter.
Yeah.
For you, t'other piece I fried and ate. It was very nice. Nice is spelled N-I-S-E. I may send you the bloody knife. There's no E at the end of knife. That took it out for you. Only wait, W-A-T-E, a while longer. No E at the end of while. Signed, catch me when you can, Mr. Lusk. Mr. The Lusk, the Mr. Lusk he was addressing was George Lusk of the Whitechapel Vigilance Committee, which was a group of volunteers, kind of like a neighborhood watch that sprung up when he started committing his crimes.
Was this letter accompanied with the kidney?
Yes, it was.
So this,
that's why
this is most certainly from him then.
No. They speculate that, I mean, cadavers, especially then, were not that hard to get a hold of. Medical students or anyone who knew a medical student could have easily accessed it. Grave robbing was easy back then.
And there's no way for them to.
There was no DNA test, of course, for them to say, hey, this is definitely from one of the victims.
Nope.
Now, there was a victim shortly before that. It was actually the same woman whose ears were nearly cut off. The Catherine Eddowes or Eddowes, who her kidney was one of the organs that was removed from her body. So there is a strong possibility that this is from the actual Ripper.
It would tell a totally different story. A gentleman of society, a top hat wearing, cane toting, well-heeled gentleman of society would probably during this time have been able to read and write.
Well,
or is that not true?
Here's the thing about that. They think that the misspellings here don't make sense for an actually person of this literacy level because,
really?
Look, he knows to put the silent K in knife, but leaves off the E at the end. When he misspells while, he still spells it with the silent H. Like he doesn't, if you were someone this stupid that's going to misspell while, you'd be like W-I-L-E.
Right.
But instead he leaves off the E. So there's, he knows that what a kidney is, but he spells it without the Y at the end. I mean, there's lots of problems with this.
Yeah.
It doesn't really seem like this is an authentic, this is probably this person trying to play around. If this is from the Ripper, then it's either he had a very weird developmental disability that made him have weird misspellings of words where he kind of grasped rules of grammar that were more like, cause like who the fuck, if they're too stupid to spell the word knife, still knows that the K is silent.
Yeah. It'd be like N I F E or some shit.
I mean, you make a compelling argument, but that still is speculative.
It's still speculative, but it's something to think about. Because it just seems incongruent.
But don't you kind of feel like, I feel like this whole story, you're kind of just like that. You're kind of like, yeah, you pulled in one direction, and then something else pops up, and you're like, now I'm being pulled in this direction. So I feel like I'm being pulled in all these different directions and theories, and it's just...
I mean, that's really kind of why I think Jack has stuck around so much in the culture. It's because, like, he did these at a time where there was a big media to follow everything he was doing, but no real tools to investigate it. So it's a story that invites people's speculation. It invites you to project your own, you know, little idiosyncrasies onto it and try and figure out, like, oh, I know the mind of this guy. When it's just, you know, it's almost like a biblical story at this point in terms of, you know, how much evidence we really have to follow. They just didn't keep that type of shit back then. They didn't have the tools to investigate.
So let's get into the really juicy bits, which is the crimes themselves.
The kills.
Yeah.
Let's get some fucking kills, TJ.
A serial killer is only as good as his kills.
How good were these kills?
They're pretty good, and they get increasingly better in terms of, you know, the brutality, at least. I mean, this guy obviously captured the imagination of the entire world, really. So, this is the first, generally regarded as the first victim. There's some other people who think, oh, maybe there was victims before, but the first of the canonical, recognized five victims is a woman named Mary Ann Nichols. We have a picture. It's not too easy to see her here. I mean, obviously, this is a very blurry, shitty photo, but, you know, she's not like a gorgeous hottie. That's pretty obvious.
Oi, good looking fella with a top hat and a cane. Come down here to split me muff, have you? 5 cents will get you a muff split, mister.
Probably was around 5 cents. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how much. How much did pussy go for in 1888 London?
Dude,
this kind
one,
of pussy,
one
too.
Pence, dude. One pence.
One Mike Pence. Mary Ann Nichols, generally regarded to be the first victim, okay? Mm-hmm. She was, I have some biographical details. It's kind of interesting. I've kind of gone in a little bit into the lives of these victims. They kind of live very similar lives. Born to a locksmith in 1845. Married a man named Edward in 1864. She had 5 children. They got divorced in 1880. Her father claimed it was because Edward was cheating on her. With one of the nurses who helped birth her child, actually. Edward just claimed it because she was a fucking lousy drunk, basically. And she was definitely a heavy drinker. And when she left to her own devices, you know, she was left to her own devices. She didn't have her husband to support her anymore. She pretty much turned to prostitution to pay for her drinking habit.
The oldest profession is always open.
Yeah, and on the night of August 31st, so it's late in the year, too. All these murders happen, in a fucking rush, in a pandemonium. You know, this is just like, all of a sudden, this guy comes out of nowhere, starts killing women, and then he vanishes. On the night of August 31st, 1888, she left the pub, where she was drinking, of course. And she went back to her boarding house to sleep. Now, I guess boarding houses at that time in poorer areas, instead of trying to charge you rent like we do now, they just charged you to get the fuck in the door. Probably a wise decision, given the like time and these women's professions. And, you know, they knew they were catering to like lushes and the dregs of society.
So it was more like a hotel room is today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't get the key till you get the money on the fucking table.
Well, you have the key to, I mean, I'm assuming you have the key to whatever room you're sleeping in, if there even is a lock. But what you don't get is access into the front fucking door unless you fucking pay your shilling or whatever the fuck.
I would speculate that I doubt they had fucking rooms, dude.
It was a boarding house, so there was definitely rooms there.
No, but I mean, it was probably rooms with just a bunch of beds in them, is what I'm saying.
Maybe. I have no fucking clue what the setup was. You had to pay an entrance fee, though, and she drank her entrance fee that night. So because she drank her entrance fee, she decided, well, I'm just going to go out on the street, do my little split my muff kind of thing. And, you know, she's going to go make that money.
Isn't it crazy how the smallest things can change your life?
Yeah, like...
It's like if this bitch, you know, doesn't drink her money away that night, maybe she lived 20 more years, 30 maybe, more years. Maybe. Who knows?
Guess I'll have to go jiggle a bloke's twig and berries then.
Easiest thing in the world for her at that time, I guess.
Shake a shilling out of him.
So she decided she's going to go make some money on the street corner, doing the world's oldest fucking profession. At 4 a.m., she was found on a street on Bucks Row. Her skirt is pulled up over around her waist. Her throat is slit twice. Her abdomen is sliced open. There's no missing organs or anything at this point. She's just sliced open. Like, he just wants to take a peek at what's inside. You know? Here's the medical report giving a more detailed account of her injuries. Five of her teeth were missing, and there was a slight laceration of the tongue. There was a bruise running along the lower part of her jaw on the right side of her face. Might have been caused by a blow, might have been caused by someone holding her face there, might have been caused by a thumb impression. There was a circular bruise on the left side of her face, which might have been inflicted by the pressure of the fingers. On the left side of the neck, about 1 inches, 1 inch below the fucking jaw, there was an incision of about 4 inches. Slightly below that, there was an 8-inch wound that just basically, you know, splittered from fucking ear to ear, although it wasn't that high. That incision actually completely severed all tissue in her neck down to the vertebrae.
Wow.
So fuck. She was practically fucking decapitated.
Hanging on by a thread, dude.
With a big fucking knife. All of the major blood vessels in her neck were severed.
And quickly.
And no blood was found on the breasts, either of the body or the clothes. There were no injuries about the body until just about the lower part of the abdomen, other than, of course, the neck wounds. Several incisions running across the abdomen. There were three or four similar cuts running downward on the right side, all of which had been caused by a knife which had been used violently and downwards.
So it's almost like, so slit their throats, they die, and then I can do what I want.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't kill them by ripping them apart, but after they're dead, he mutilates their bodies. He wants to just tear them apart. That's why the Ripper definitely caught on as an apropos name for the fucking guy. The next victim was a woman named Annie Chapman. Very similar story to the previous victim.
Oh, look her.
Eerily similar, actually.
She kind of looks like Galen with a wig.
I'll be sure to let him know. Now, she also had a husband and some kids at one point. Her son was born crippled. Her daughter died of meningitis. She turned to drinking and prostitution. Same story. She's at a pub. She drinks a bunch of beer, tries to go back to her lodging house. But just like Nichols, she didn't have the fucking entrance fee. And just like Nichols, she decides, OK, well, I'll go on the street and earn the entrance fee by sucking a fucking dick or whatever, like whatever. The next morning, and this is September 8th, so just not even a month later. The next morning, she's found in the doorway of a house with her throat slit. Jack had escalated his ritual because she was found disemboweled. Her intestines were laying on the ground next to her. Her uterus and part of her bladder had been removed. Entirely, just gone, taken as a trophy.
Whoa.
It was determined that she hadn't even died from the throat slitting. She'd actually been asphyxiated. So basically, she'd been strangled or smothered and then mutilated with a knife afterwards.
But did he still slit her throat?
Yes, her throat was still slit. They just determined that it wasn't what killed her. I don't know how they determined that.
You know, that's
why that was the determination.
That's why I find it hard to believe that this guy did this all in the streets. You know what I mean? It's more likely to me that he probably took them somewhere, killed them, and dumped their bodies.
Maybe.
That seems a lot more plausible for the kind of crimes he was committing.
I mean, you would think that, but actually there's evidence against that in the very next victim. Because it actually does seem like he must have done these things on the street, because the next crime he does, it's speculated that he was interrupted. Because there was a thing called the double event. There was a night, what's the date? September 29th. 1888, Jack the Ripper took not one, but two women's lives.
Damn.
The first woman he killed, Elizabeth Stride. She was the victim, she has a kind of a different backstory. She was never married. She was a prostitute from a young age. She wasn't like these other women who once had something going on and then turned to prostitution later in life. She just pretty much started life. As soon as she was old enough to be selling her body, she was. She was actually a Swedish immigrant. She once gave birth to a stillborn baby. It didn't live. It was dead at birth. She actually was married, but her husband died of tuberculosis in 1884. They never had any children together. She was apparently something of a liar, because she would tell people that her husband and her children, which she never had any children other than that stillborn baby, she would tell people that they died in an infamous 1878 Thames River steamboat accident. And that...
To garner sympathy? Or
yes.
Running a scam?
She's probably at least doing a little bit of a confidence hustle. Or just wanted the attention. She also blamed her being in that accident for her stutter, I guess, which is something she actually had from childhood. Now, she was seen earlier on the night of her murder talking to and kissing on what was described as a respectable looking gentleman.
But she normally would have been doing that anyway.
Yes, exactly. But he was never identified.
Also not surprising, but how many Johns are identified?
Her body was found the next morning. She'd been strangled and her throat had been cut, but she wasn't further mutilated. And it's widely believed that it was because Jack the Ripper had been interrupted. That someone had come along, maybe seen what he was doing. Maybe he freaked out and ran. The primary speculation is for why, you know, like... It wasn't compassion or anything that stayed his hand, because he went out looking for another victim that night. He's like, oh shit, I didn't get what I wanted out of this, but I'm still determined. So on the same night, he also ended up killing Catherine Edos, I don't know how her name is pronounced. No picture of her, just this drawing. She's the one that was never married. She did have many boyfriends throughout her life. She's also the only one of his victims that was not a prostitute. Right. She had one long-term boyfriend she lived with for 20 years, had three children with. She was also an alcoholic. And her alcoholism is actually the reason that her 20-year relationship came to an end. So that is another similarity. A lot of these women, alcohol kind of played a major part in their downfall in life. She was not a prostitute. She was just a drunk. The night of her murder, she was actually found passed out drunk by the police. They took her to the station to sleep it off. And around 1 a.m., they decided she seems cool. Let's let her go and she can just go home. If they decided to keep her there for the rest of the night until morning, she'd probably still be alive. Well, not now.
Well, yeah.
But you know what I mean.
She probably would have lived longer, of course.
She would have not died that night, is what I'm saying.
More than likely.
If she was still alive today, she'd be like...
We don't know. Maybe the bitch fucking slips on a banana peel.
She definitely wouldn't still be alive today. She'd be like 170 years old or some shit.
Well, she was a vampire. She's clearly not, because she was murdered.
She'd just be a 200-year-old drunk.
Yeah, just... Hey, sweetie! Luckily for me, they kept me in the drunk tank the night the Ripper killed those two girls. She never made it home, obviously. They let her go at 1 a.m. She was found the next morning. Not only was her throat slit, her eyelids were cut off.
Whoa.
The cuts, basically her fucking entire neck and face was cut off. Like, he removed the skin from her neck and face, removed her kidneys, and cut open her intestines to, like, release the shit. Like, he cut the intestines open and pulled the shit out of there.
I mean, become even more brutal. Like, not even just dissecting them. Like, now, like, fucking...
Just ruining them.
Yeah, just digging around inside them and just squeezing shit out of their internal
organs. And it almost does seem like it's a process of curiosity for him.
He wants to see what's going on in there.
Because, like, remember, the first victim, he just opens her up. The second time, he pulls some stuff out. This time, he's gone to just new levels of mutilation with each fucking instance. And the final victim is no exception to that increasing brutality. This is Mary Jane Kelly, born in Ireland. She was considered to be the most beautiful of Jack's victims. Not that that standard seems like it's very high. She was married for 3 years, but her husband died in a coal mine. And she became a very successful prostitute. She even at one point lived in a high-end brothel where she was called Marie Jeanette. So she was not just a streetwalker like these other girls. She was a little bit of a higher tier of prostitute. And she, by this time, Jack the Ripper was, you know, there was paranoia about this, especially if you worked as a prostitute. And she was terrified of Jack the Ripper. And she was honestly probably at least somewhat of a good person, because she would let other prostitutes stay with her in a very tiny room that she shared with her boyfriend to kind of keep them safe. Because she knew that, you know, that it wasn't safe on the streets with him on the prowl. So she would, like, you know, shelter other girls. But her and her boyfriend also, you know, like, the same issue, drinking problems. They were constantly being evicted from place to place because they couldn't, you know, pay the rent because they were drinking all their money. So she was staying at this place on, November 5th, her landlord, because she was 6 weeks late on rent, her landlord shows up at 10:45 in the morning on November 5th. He shows up to try to collect his rent money. He comes in, he finds her body, and she was mangled beyond recognition. This is from the autopsy. The whole surface of the abdomen and thighs was removed. The abdominal cavity emptied of its viscera. The breasts were cut off, the arms mutilated by several jagged wounds, and the face hacked beyond recognition of the features. The tissues of the neck were severed all around the bone. The killer had piled her organs and flaps of her skin next to the bed. So he was just ripping things off of her and putting it in a little gore pile.
It does sound like a dissection, dude.
Yeah, nearby.
It really does sound like a process of curiosity that he gets braver and braver with each kill and goes a little farther.
And this was his last one.
It just satisfied his curiosity.
Reached the point where, like, yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, I've seen what's going on inside the body. You know, I've seen what's underneath all this tissue. I've looked at all these organs and cut them open and seen what's going on inside of them and shit.
So there's some other murders that are attributed to him. I'm just going to go briefly through some of those.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into full biographical details because these are not canonical. There were some victims, definitely murder. Rose Mallett, Alice McKenzie, the Pynchon Street Torso, and Francis Coles. So... Rose Mallett was found strangled, and that's it. There was no signs of struggle. It was actually believed that she probably hanged herself on her collar while drunk in a stupor, or accidentally committed or tried to commit suicide. Nevertheless, it was ruled a murder, and of course the papers said, "Oh, it was Jack the Ripper." You know, Jack the Ripper didn't just strangle a bitch. I mean, he started stronger than that. Yeah. There's no way that this guy with this pathology is just going to settle
choke
for a
somebody.
You know, yeah.
He's not going to settle for a fucking strangulation.
So I don't buy that one. Alice McKenzie was killed on the 17th of July, 1889, by severance of the left carotid. Carotid artery.
Yep.
Several minor bruises and cuts were found on the body. You know,
so it's just he cut her carotid artery, but
so that
there's no vivisection.
That same Thomas Bond guy who said he didn't think it was a surgeon thought it was a Ripper murder. His colleague, George Bagster Phillips, who had examined the bodies of three previous victims, said, nah, this ain't the fucking Ripper. And I don't think it was.
Sounds like these guys like had built a little bit of a career around disagreeing about Jack the Ripper.
Maybe so. The Pynchon Street torso was just a headless and legless torso of an unidentified woman found under a railway arch in Pynchon Street on 10th of September, 1889. It seems probable that this murder was committed elsewhere and then the dismembered torso was placed there later. Once again, a little closer to Jack's MO, but still doesn't really seem to fit the profile. And then... Francis Coles was killed on the 13th of February, 1891, under a railway arch at Swallow Gardens, Whitechapel. Her throat was cut and her body was not mutilated.
So another one that...
So just, you know, like, these are just... seem like they were him. Yeah. These seem like just other murders.
Were these all after or before?
After. All after.
So all, yeah. So,
so this is just people
sense.
Desperate for Jack to still be out there. They want to feel the, ooh, Jack might get you panic.
Well, that's strange, too, about him, is that only five murders are really attributed to him. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, like, and just in a span of a couple months, because he started in August of 1888, and he finished up in November of 1888.
I mean, I think that's why. I think it was the brutality of the murders, how quickly they happened. You can imagine the panic that that would have caused in London, especially on the East End where the shit was going on. And the fact that they never figured out who he was. You know what I mean? So all three of those, I mean, you know.
I mean, it's hard to I think most people to accept that, too. Like, for 5 months, this guy kills people and that's it. He's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like...
We don't know.
He just arrives on the scene with such brutality, murders five women in increasingly crazy ways, with the exception of the one that he was probably interrupted on. And then he just kind of goes away.
Like the Zodiac, for example, like he killed for many years. It was like, you know, I mean, can you imagine someone, let's say like the Zodiac, which is kind of, I guess, comparable in a way. Just did everything in 5 months, and that was it. He was just gone, and that's all we ever heard from him. That's all the letters, everything. I mean, that's such a crazy time period, just to have all this shit happen, and then just
And it's totally plausible that he didn't quit, that he just died.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People at this time, you know, could have been arrested on some other charge and beaten to death in jail or got tuberculosis.
Moved. Who knows?
Died in a fucking sanitarium.
Could have been a trap.
Tripped and fell and broke his leg and got an infection.
Could have been like a traveler who left.
Yeah.
Could have emigrated elsewhere. Maybe continued his crimes with less aplomb somewhere else. Who knows? There's really no way to know what the fuck he did afterwards. There are some other murders attributed to him, but... you know, the further you get down this list, the less and less it seems like the MO of Jack the Ripper. Now, there is a strange thing. There is one victim who almost meets the profile because their legs have been cut off, abdomen open, intestines drawn out, heart and ear removed. Kind of sounds like him.
Yeah.
But the problem is it was a 7-year-old boy. Not really his thing.
Not his thing at all.
So that's about the closest I see to his actual style of crime being committed on this list of things that people possibly attributed to him.
I mean, but could it also be then, you know, he moves on to something different?
Yeah. I mean, maybe he had satisfied his curiosity with women and was like, well,
let's see what it's like to kill a little kid.
And it's not, you know what I mean? If you want to get a look at a male body, it's probably a lot harder to subdue and think about, you know, committing that type of intimate, you know, you don't have the impetus to get them alone like you would with a prostitute. You know what I mean? So I guess it's plausible in that. He picks one of the weakest among society, some little ragamuffin kid from the shitty poor neighborhood.
Maybe.
It's totally, yeah, that one I'd say is probably the most plausible of any of them that you read.
And it was about a month after his spree ended. It also could have been that someone was reading about the career of Jack the Ripper and his MO and said, ooh, that sounds fun, copycat. But I'd rather do it to a little boy. So
I mean, there's always copycat things. Like, that gets into the cultural zeitgeist.
Oh, I mean, there's been copy. I mean, Jack the Ripper has actually had copycat killers. That's something we could have gotten into. But,
oh, yeah.
Instead, we decided to focus the second part of our research on the cultural phenomena of Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. I'll tell you, dude, it's really overwhelming. Like, I kind of figured that he'd been referenced because, you know, everybody kind of knows about Jack the Ripper.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's heard the name. Everybody kind of has that association of, you know, a dude with a knife and a top hat and a cape. You know what I mean? But the sheer amount of shit that has been written about Jack the Ripper and filmed about Jack the Ripper through every type of medium, from fucking books to video games to music to musical theater to plays,
movies,
radio shows. It's fucking insane.
I want to show something here. Now, this is something that you discovered.
This is the cover of the first book that was ever, well, it's not even really a book. It's more of a short story, but whatever. It was a published work called The Curse Upon Mitre Square, which was one of the places where one of those killings, where one of the bodies was found in one of the killings that TJ just described to you. This was actually published in 1888.
So Jack the Ripper is still actively killing at this time.
Yep.
This comes out. So they immediately, there's people capitalizing on these crimes. Immediately.
I think it says 20 cents, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. This might actually not be the original cover of it. This is just a very old cover. I see it says New York down there. The original book was released in London, obviously, to people that were hot for new news about, you know. So somebody already saw that Jack the Ripper was something that people were probably going to want to remember and already started capitalizing on him.
Why wouldn't they? Especially in the city of London. I mean, it's a highly populated area.
And people are curious about him. And people want to know about him.
And I mean, these things are mostly just like, you know, a lot of them build themselves at the time as being like, this is what happened. I mean, of course, they're really not. They're just sensationalized retellings of the events.
And he escaped London pretty quickly in terms of his reach. I didn't pull a whole lot of information about it, but he crops up in Norwegian short story lists within 10 years of his killings. So he really, you know, he never really, his ascent never really stopped. And that continues to this day. He continues to just get more and more shit written and made about him to this day. And it just never really stopped. Once he started killing, the publishing started. People started looking at this story and going, I can make money on this.
Let me just show people how overwhelmingly large the Jack the Ripper in fiction section on Wikipedia is.
And this is, keep in mind, this is a totally incomplete list.
This is not even complete.
I'm just going to start
scrolling down. This is the book we just talked about. Here's the many novels influenced by Jack the Ripper. Tons of them. Other novels include, and this is not even complete, theater, opera, and musical theater. Like, people have made numerous musical theater fucking productions about Jack the Ripper.
Yep.
The film section is huge.
I mean, it's just absolute. And once
television,
again, totally incomplete list on both of those as well.
Comics, huge. Manga.
Yep.
Manga.
I was going to pull something about the manga just for the weebs in the audience. I guess we can talk about it. I guess that I've actually heard of this because I date a weeb. Black Butler is a show. I asked Ashley about it, and she said it sucked. But apparently it's based pretty loosely on Jack the Ripper. It has a lot of Ripper mythology kind of woven into it. But, so, I mean, nothing is untouched. Music.
Manoir.
But isn't that the beautiful thing about it, though? I mean, is that you can take a story like this, and because there's not any person you can put it to, then everyone can just create their own mythology around it. And that's kind of what people have just done through, I mean, video games.
Video games.
Art.
Sports.
Even sports, dude. The London
the
Rippers.
The London Rippers, dude.
Yep.
So wait, this guy fucking in 1888, like, kills and mutilates a bunch of women.
Read the last line of that sports thing.
The choice drew criticism from the mayor and a local women's shelter. Well, yeah. Because you're naming your sports team after a fucking dude who mutilated bodies. But, I mean, like... I guess he, I mean, like, you can't deny that the motherfucker captured the imagination of the people. Look at this.
Yeah. An incomplete list of his fucking, like, this is a dude, we don't know who he is.
I mean, this is the kind of point where you gotta ask, like, was this worth fucking five prostitutes dying just to give us this?
I'm just thinking of a name like the Tel Aviv Hitlers or something, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what the fuck, dude? The London Rippers.
So, London Rippers.
As I started doing, pulling stuff for this, I quickly came to the realization that in order to fit the length of show that we do, like, even if it runs long, I'm going to have to just try and select a few things and kind of go through and show the span, you know, of decades that he's remained relevant and how
it's impressive,
you know, perception of him has changed in fiction. The early works like The Curse on Mitre Square were just kind of like crime novels. They didn't really dramatize him much. They were based a lot on facts had been in print.
Yeah, the first big one was this book, The Lodger, right?
Now, The Lodger, yeah, The Lodger is a book that doesn't even mention Jack the Ripper.
But it's clearly based on.
But it's 110% based on Jack the Ripper's mythology.
And here's the cover. You research. There's actually, we have some film adaptations of this.
There are
as
actually
well.
Five film adaptations of The Lodger. We'll get to those. But this book is basically about a couple who have a house with an extra room, and they decide to rent it out to this guy who moves in, and he's a very well-to-do, well-heeled, gentlemanly type of guy, single dude. Very nice to them. They like him. But he keeps odd hours, and it just happens to be around the time that some murders are going around by a killer the press has dubbed the Avenger, interestingly enough. So instead of Jack the Ripper, it's the Avenger. And this couple, so it's a book basically about, it's a suspense novel about suspicion. And, you know, whether or not you can believe what your eyes tell you, you know, when you don't have any evidence, but you feel very strongly. So this couple kind of descends into this conspiratorial nightmare where they're just absolutely sure that this man is the Ripper, but can't find any evidence.
They can't quite prove it.
That story, like I said, everybody agrees is based on the Ripper's mythology. I mean, you see the artwork that they use. That's a more modern cover of The Lodger, obviously. Sure. That picture of Jack the Ripper doesn't really, as far as I could see, doesn't really start to show up in the media right away. It's a relative, I mean, it might have been back in the day, but really that kind of hunched over, top-hatted, cloaked, gentlemanly kind of killer thing is way more modern usually, but
well, of course, I mean, you're gonna have people in that era are gonna look at it differently because they're actually living through that time period, whereas, you know, that as time goes on, the things we remember about them are really because more of the mythology is what we're remembering. We're not really remembering the facts of the case. Because, I mean, I bet you before you guys researched this video, you didn't know much about the actual case.
It's, no, I didn't. No.
Not at all.
That's what I'm saying. So all you knew was this mythology, which we all, like you said, Paul, you think of Jack the Ripper, you're thinking of a guy with a fucking top hat. And the night, he's carrying a knife, he's fucking prowling, he's trying to kill these prostitutes.
I had no idea how brutal his crimes actually were. Like, how much he just destroyed the bodies that he fucking...
Yeah, same here. I learned that live on the show. I didn't get to research that end of it, but that's... I had no idea how the brutality
that's
of
what
it.
I'm saying. It's
I always thought he just, like, cut the throats of prostitutes or stabbed them to death or something.
That's
that was
I'm
always
saying.
My... I did not know about the vivisections and the removal of organs and shit. That was all new to me. But clearly the brutality played a role in sticking him in people's minds.
But, yeah. Well, always up in the ante, too. I mean, it wasn't like he just, like you said, he killed. And then it's like, well, a little bit further.
Let me just
a little bit further.
Bring us back to The Lodger here. Because this actually made its way into, it was actually one of Alfred Hitchcock's
earliest films, right?
It's considered by a lot of people to be his first quote end quote masterpiece. He made one full film prior to this. I'm struggling to remember the name of that. And there are two, well, one incomplete film and one film that's actually been lost, which I think I'd like to look into more, called Eagle Mountain, or the mountain, the Eagle Mountain. Anyway, it's considered by my most, it's a silent film. It was made in 1924.
Seven.
Sorry, 1927, and was an adaptation of The Lodger. I think I pulled...
Yeah, we have a trailer for it here. Let's just
unfortunately, the best cut trailer I could find has these annoying Spanish subtitles.
Murder, murder. The Avenger.
So, you know, a very different kind of cinema than we're used to. Silent films are, I really actually like them. They're stripped down, and you can see a lot of Hitchcock's eye in this first movie. It's why people consider it to be his first real masterpiece of a film. And it's widely considered to be the best adaptation as well of The Lodger. There have been, like I said, five. And to give you an idea how far the image of Jack the Ripper has been degraded since this, I pulled the most recent
adaptation of The Lodger.
The Lodger, which was made, I believe, in 2009.
Yep. Let's take a quick look at what they've done since. And I think you'll notice a big problem right away.
Okay, what do we got? That's pretty nasty. Any witnesses? No.
LA County police believe the murders may have been designed to imitate those committed 7 years ago.
I saw the sign out front. Other room for rent?
Come in. What do you do?
I write.
So now set in modern day, history is repeating itself. Jack's back.
Jack the Ripper in London over 100 years ago.
And the killer. Over 100 years ago, eh?
I got mad at him last night, walking across the garden.
Until the list is complete.
Uh-oh.
I'll do anything.
We'd like to come in and ask a few questions.
What's back there?
It's just an extra...
So it's just turned into a boring, unwatchable, modern crime drama.
Yeah.
Hey!
Yeah, this is dog shit.
He'll kill two more women!
You're not gonna find anything.
The Lodger.
The Lodger.
I mean, all the shit you can do with Jack the Ripper, and this just seems like the most milquetoast, watered down, probably not any real fucking real brutality. Probably like, they're dead, he shot them or he stabbed them.
Alfred Molina.
One of the things that I read in terms of Jack the Ripper's presence and stuff is that he really started in the 1960s in all media, in books and film and all of that, to be like a placeholder villain. Like whenever you needed just a shadowy dude that was evil to the core, Jack the Ripper was used. And he was used in so many different ways, it's insane. One of the things, while we're still talking about literature before we fully move on to film and shit,
okay,
is that Jack the Ripper has been a foe of Sherlock Holmes's multiple times. In multiple different adaptations of Sherlock Holmes novels, he has gone toe-to-toe with Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, it doesn't look like... what was the guy who wrote those initially? Was it Arthur Conan Doyle? Doesn't look like he did any of those.
No, but none of them are, like, canonical. But I'm just saying, there have been so many different adaptations of Sherlock Holmes novels outside of Conan Doyle's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, and think about it. If you're...
There's little mini genre of Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the
Ripper.
But
if you wrote that today, it's like Sherlock Holmes, like everyone's heard of Sherlock Holmes. And who's he going to face? Jack the Ripper, another fucking character everyone's heard of.
They both from London, around the same time, put them against each other.
Exactly.
I tried to find examples because, you know, like I said, we could have spent an entire show just covering the movies that Jack the Ripper has been... at least a principal character in, or that were based around his mythology, we could have spent a whole show doing that.
Oh, yeah.
So I tried to pull examples of the best, and really what I found is, as many times as he's been covered in films, there's not a whole lot of good out there when it comes to Jack the Ripper films.
It's kind of a lot of dog shit.
Kind of like video game movies, dude.
Because there's really no development of his character, and because he's used so wildly as a placeholder villain, he tends to be put in a lot of schlocky B-horror bullshit, which I think is kind of sad. So I don't know. Is there anything left in the literature, or do you want to move on to
there
movies?
There is the From Hell graphic novel.
I pulled a couple of frames from that just because it's cool to look at.
It is definitely cool. This is their version of Jack the Ripper. They're not going with the stereotype thing. He's kind of just like a chubby guy. Kind of looks like White Guilt Paul a little bit.
I'll tell you, Jack the Ripper in this one, this series From Hell is actually based... it's named obviously after the letter we looked at earlier, but it's based on one of the many conspiracy theories that we won't be getting into tonight because we just don't have time about who Jack the Ripper was. And there was one very prominent dude in the 1970s, I forget his name, who put Stephen Knight, there you go, who put forth a conspiracy theory that Jack the Ripper was involved in masonry and the Illuminati and the shadow government and all of this shit. And so the graphical novel, while the dudes that made it admit that they don't lend any credence to that, they based it in that world, based on that kind of. So Jack the Ripper in this film, in this graphic novel.
The film version's not worth watching.
Right.
The graphic novel, I've never read it myself. I hear it's really good.
You can see here, I mean, the brutality of some of the scenes in it. You can see the top of the thigh there removed.
Yeah, it's very, it's accurate to there's obviously... The crimes are not treated,
Right. I mean, you can see a computer in the background there. So it's definitely they've done a little time shifting as well.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really cool. Just kind of really beautifully drawn. It was hard to pick, honestly, a couple of frames to show for the show tonight. So I'll definitely be checking this graphic novel out.
So I want to tell you guys about something, because when we started doing this Jack the Ripper thing, I'm talking mainly to the audience here, because I've talked to you guys about this already. But so, audience, when they mentioned Jack the Ripper, and I kind of gave Paul, I was like, I'll do the history stuff, you do the movie stuff. I was like, make sure there's a movie you gotta get. There's a movie you gotta fucking get, because I remember watching this as a kid. And it stuck in my mind, not because of any performance, not because of any memorable moment or line or anything. The only thing I really remember about the fucking movie is the premise of the movie, because it is the most fucking ludicrous goddamn premise I've ever fucking heard in my fucking life. So here's the premise. H.G. Wells, the author of The Time Machine, as well as other classic sci-fi, actually built a time machine. Okay. He actually built the time machine.
So how does being an author make you have knowledge about
that's
time
the least
machine?
Of the problems.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, no.
I mean, I think
was the least of the problems. Like, he invented travel is a pretty big fucking problem in my
mind. Was a scientist or something, or had some knowledge of science or whatever.
Dude.
He didn't build a time machine, but whatever. You know what? I'm willing to suspend my disbelief. H.G. Wells invented a time machine. I'll grant it that, because you know what? If that makes the story work, whatever. But here's the story, though. Here's the story they're trying to serve with that contrivance.
All right, fine. What is it?
He was H.G. Wells, not knowing he was Jack the Ripper, was buddies with Jack the Ripper.
Oh.
Okay? Jack the Ripper finds the time machine and goes to present day to resume his killing.
Okay. What in the fuck? Who the fuck was a good idea?
And then H.G. Wells also goes to the future to pursue
his ex-friend.
But didn't he take the time machine?
Well, the time machine comes back.
The time machine returns automatically after.
What?
That's how That's just how the time machine works, dude.
So you're willing to fucking buy into the time machine. That makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, I mean, movies are about suspending disbelief, but I mean, like...
But this one is fucking ludicrous, dude.
Now, this is
you
not...
No, I'm not even done. I'm not even done.
Okay.
So you might think this sounds like the premise to a goofball comedy. Nope, treated completely seriously. And here's the thing. If you have to classify this movie, the genre that best fits it is romance. Because it's really more about H.G. Wells hooking up with some bitch in the future while they're hunting Jack the Ripper together.
Yeah, it's...
Here's a trailer for that.
The time is 1893.
And yeah, that's Alex from A Clockwork Orange right there.
Malcolm McDowell.
1979. Da-da-da-da! 1979.
Time after time.
But
for H.G. Wells, the modern world offers a spectacular array of revelations.
Oh, a television. See, they're trying to sell it like it's a comedy here. It's not.
It's not. I didn't remember this movie until TJ started talking about it this afternoon, and I was like, oh, yeah. Quickly as possible
to the. This is like just one of those, like, I can't believe this is. Uh-oh. His visit will be somewhat more dangerous,
for he is pursuing Jack the Ripper, a villain who has eluded his fate by escaping into time. 90 years
ago, this trailer sucks so bad.
The movie's not much better.
No,
honestly.
It's not.
It's a terrible concept for a movie. It's something that I can almost guarantee you. You would think nobody would ever greenlight this even once.
But you'd be wrong. Yes,
dude,
you would.
If you can't simply explain the plot of a movie, if the trailer has to be a fucking long explanation of what you might want to watch, no one's going to watch it.
Mary Steenburgen.
So he just blends right in to
Jack the Ripper
San
at the disco
in 79.
All right, so... The story's not over.
You would think it would be, though.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think, like, okay, this obscure movie from the 70s, 1979, what a ridiculous premise. Well, in 2017, fucking ABC decided, remember that obscure, shitty movie from 1979? You know what would be a good show? That.
Dude, if you need any more proof that networks are just fucking totally bankrupt of ideas.
Oh, my God.
So, case in point,
they rebooted. They made a Time After Time TV series.
How could you reboot
this?
By
the way, do you get the title there?
Yeah.
Time After Time. Because they both traveled through time and then they go after him.
Boo. Here's the trailer for the show, which only ran for 5 episodes before they pulled it from their schedule. Shockingly enough. Good Lord, it's a time machine, it is. Have you guessed who Jack the Ripper is yet?
No. Who could it be now?
Not that guy.
It's not this guy.
Not him.
Uh-oh, it's Jack the Ripper.
Him, Jack the Ripper.
Mr. Wells.
Oh, my God. They're just doing it. And they didn't even change anything.
No.
And they, if anything, they just made it more dramatic. They took the same ridiculous premise and gave it an even more serious treatment.
Yep.
He has escaped to the future, and I...
Well, oh, my God. I left my time machine. Oh, there it is. It's back.
I must catch him.
I have a better idea. Hey, I have a better idea.
What's that, Scotty?
He knows who Jack the Ripper is. Why don't you just go back in time to when he was born and strangle him?
Yeah, or go back in time to before he stole the time
machine. Why don't
you just
go back to like a day ago and fucking beat the shit out of him and be like, you know, you go to jail.
Or tell the cops that you know who Jack the Ripper is.
No, I'm going to go to the future when I have no idea where he is. and no way of finding him.
It's just ridiculous.
And in the meantime, I'll be falling in love with this random bitch.
So you don't have to play this whole fucking trailer. It's terrible. It was pulled after 5 fucking episodes for a reason.
I'm surprised they made it past 1.
Why they decided they were going to make a popular show about a movie that flopped and everybody fucking forgot about.
I don't know if it
flopped
or not.
I can almost guarantee it didn't make a whole lot of movie. Like, dude, that's a pretty fertile time for movie making, and I didn't remember it till you fucking brought it up.
Are you looking up how much it made?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. A lot of people in our chat are saying that not only is it well reviewed on Rotten Tomatoes, apparently, but that they personally like it.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I can remember thinking it was pretty fucking lame when I was a kid.
Remember feeling the same way about it. So I'm pretty sure as an adult I'm not going to care for it. Let's see. I actually can't find anything about its box office, so maybe it's just too early of a fucking film to figure out. Let's see. Maybe it's listed here somewhere.
I mean, they have Gone with the Wind. You know what I mean? That was made in like the fucking 1930s, so.
Gone with the Wind, this ain't.
Well, no shit. But, I mean, usually you can figure out box office receipts if they had was it actually released in theaters?
Yeah.
So do you have a theater?
It was released in theaters. Time After Time received a positive response from critics, blah, 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 blah. I don't see anything about its financial success.
Time After Time.
I guess it won some writing awards, actually.
Well, there you go.
So,
convoluted
maybe
plot.
Maybe it's better than I remember it being, but I remember it fucking sucking. And I think it's one of the dumbest premises I've ever seen for a fucking movie.
You'll have to watch it again, TJ, see if it holds up in your mind.
Maybe it will. So we got some other stuff you pulled for other media he's appeared in.
Sure.
The next one I see on your list here is A Bridge Across Time. Oh, my God.
This one.
Wow.
Okay.
This is an even dumber premise.
This one. As soon as I saw a picture from it, I remembered watching this as a kid. This was a shitty made-for-TV movie, and the premise is, as I remember it, that a stone from the original old London Bridge somehow finds its way to a sleepy Arizona town and becomes part of their new bridge, and the fact that that old stone is there summons Jack the Ripper.
Because of his intimate connection with London
and
Bridge.
And David Hasselhoff is the only guy that can stop him.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
So a stone from London Bridge ends up in a bridge in a town in Arizona.
Yes.
So.
And it summons somehow, I don't know if it's the ghost of Jack the Ripper or actually Jack the Ripper.
So I'm guessing like this town in Arizona or something was like paying for some advertisement through like whatever's studio.
Come to our town and get killed by Jack the Ripper.
I don't remember
I'm just fucking reaching, dude. I don't really fucking know why.
I just remember watching this movie on TV when I was a kid.
So
where's the fucking connection, dude?
The only connection is
they got a stone from a fucking bridge in the city and killed people.
Hence, though,
and it somehow summons him.
Scotty, think about this: a bridge across time.
Yeah,
that's fucking stupid.
Get it?
No, it's not, Scotty. Check it out.
Oh my god, dude!
Check it out, Scotty.
Friday, a world movie premiere.
It's only 21 seconds.
He's alive. Knight Rider's David Hasselhoff, Hutter's Stephanie Kramer, and one of history's most famous killers.
He's out there. We gotta stop him.
He's watching their every move. But together, they might survive. Jack the Ripper has found a bridge across time. Friday.
Yep.
Hey TJ, I have a fucking stone from the Colosseum, dude. So it's gonna summon Julius Caesar to our town, dude. He's gonna fucking raise an army.
Yep. It's gonna summon Gaius Caligula, dude, and he's gonna fucking resume his place at the throne of humanity.
That sounds good.
That actually sounds like a better premise than a fucking rock from the original. It's like, it'd be one thing if he, like, killed bitches on the London Bridge or something. But it's just like, what's something that American dipshits are going to know about England? London Bridge, that's about it. So it's going to be a, like, he didn't even do shit on the London Bridge.
Yeah, there's literally no connection between the London Bridge and except Jack for that the Ripper, it, except for he
except for that it was, yeah, it was indeed in London at the time that Jack the Ripper was as well. He might have crossed it at some point.
You know, he probably took a piss off of it one time, yeah. You know, so there you go.
Of all the people it could have brought back from ancient London, it just happened to select Jack. It was one evil fucking stone in the London Bridge. Man, what can we say?
Well, yep. Luckily they had David Hasselhoff to deal with the problem, though.
So. All sorts of fucking, I mean, like, Star Trek.
This is a really weird one, too. And it shows you how malleable the Jack the Ripper character is in terms of him just being this blank slate evil guy villain. So, I didn't remember this episode until I started looking it up, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. There's an episode where they're on shore leave. And Kirk and all the dudes want to go down to this pleasure planet.
Yeah.
To do you know what. Yeah. You know what I mean? And Scotty don't want to go. Not this Scotty, but fat, you know, I'm giving it all she's got, Captain. He wanted to stay, but like Bones is like, Scotty, you need some time away. You need to unwind. And he makes Scotty go. And Scotty wakes up one day with blood all over his hands, holding a knife over the body of a dead prostitute.
Yeah, we got some footage from that, too. This Star Trek episode is called Wolf in the Fold. And after we take a look at it, Paul, I'll tell you a little bit more about how this actually wraps up.
Yeah.
StarTrek.com.
Captain's log, stardate 3614.9. Mr. Scott has fallen under suspicion of having brutally murdered an Argelian woman.
She's dead, Jeff.
You.
And you.
They were to be married.
Prefect, I didn't kill anyone. I couldn't.
How could any man do such monstrous things?
I swear to you, I did not kill your wife or the other ladies.
Dude, you know what was going on that pleasure planet.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I mean, come on.
All right, so tell them how this wraps up, Paul.
So, basically, everybody on the planet wants to hang or, you know, execute Scotty for the murders, but
that makes sense.
Kirk eventually convinces them to let them beam up to the Enterprise so they can use the computers to analyze all the data and shit and figure out what really went on. And through a bunch of convoluted nonsense, it's revealed that the killer was actually Jack the Ripper, who is an interdimensional being that has traveled throughout space and time, planet to planet, committing his murders. And so, yeah, Jack the Ripper basically becomes the devil.
That's
in
awesome.
This, which just shows you how, like, you know, sci-fi Jack the Ripper, interdimensional slasher from 1888.
I mean, yeah, why is he in so much science fiction?
That's the thing.
Because the H.G. Wells, the Time After Time shit is science fiction. He was in Star Trek. He was in fucking Babylon 5, for fuck's sake.
It's because you can fit him in some way.
Yep.
Like we said, if you had some clearly defined person, you wouldn't be able to do that. With Jack the Ripper, it's like he's so malleable. You can put him in sci-fi. You can put him in fucking comedy, for fuck's sake.
He's basically
matter.
like a villain crash test dummy that can just be thrown in whenever you need a dude that everybody knows is evil and doesn't question
him. And even if you don't call him Jack the Ripper, it's like they can still kind of use him. You know what I mean? Like
they always do. Oh, yeah. But I mean, I was blown away by the explicit uses of him.
Like
Babylon 5.
This is, I mean, like Babylon 5 had Jack the Ripper on it.
Just watch.
I'm going to turn this one up a little on for the audience to hear.
Ready to go. I'm taking care of all the clearances.
Thank you.
It's going to say the same volume for us.
Mr. Sebastian. I did a little digging based on what you told me. The records confirm he lived on Earth, in London, in the year 1888. The records also indicate that you vanished suddenly, without a trace, on November 11th, 1888.
Uh-oh.
It's a very interesting date, Mr. Sebastian. The morning after the last of a string of murders on the East End. The city was drowning in decay. Chaos immorality. A message needed to be sent. Etched in.
Oh, shit. He's Jordan Peterson. What the fuck?
Yeah. Clean your room.
In the pursuit of my holy cause, I did things. Terrible things. Unspeakable things. The world condemned me.
Oh, this is very over the top, dude.
Because I believed I was right and the world was wrong. I believed I was the divine messenger. I believed I
did
was
it. Chosen. I did it. I was Jack the Ripper.
Never mind, the fact that there's no evidence that any of this was religiously motivated at all.
No.
I'm the divine messenger, Jack the Ripper.
Also, this guy got away with this for fucking, I mean, how many years at this point in the show? I mean, like...
Well, I mean, like, the plot of this one is that some other race that they run into on Babylon 5 has this dude, I can't remember what they call him, the auditor or some bullshit, who presides over torturing people, and they have to deal with that society, and that's him. And then at the end, like, the whole episode has nothing to do with Jack the Ripper. But at the end, they have that weird scene where it's like this guy that was presiding over all this torture and shit in this society was Jack the Ripper after all.
What a twist!
So it's kind of like at the 11th hour, they wrote this kind of.
They just wiped their ass with Jack the Ripper's mythology. Basically, exactly. They were just like, how do we spice up this boring ass episode? I know. At the end, the villain's Jack the Ripper.
So another sci-fi
probably a rewrite to the episode.
Another sci-fi appearance. You guys remember the movie Time Cop?
Yes. Yep.
I mean, I know Paul remembers it. We all watched it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
I think it was like a DP thing. We all watched Time Cop.
Yep, for a patron episode.
Well, apparently, and I didn't even know this, there was a brief, short-lived fucking Time Cop show.
I don't know why, but okay.
Yep, and in the 90s.
And the premiere episode.
What is it with time travel and Jack the fucking Ripper, dude?
Well, because they are desperate to either bring him into present day or have someone from present day go see him.
Yep. So I pulled a little clip from the first episode of that show.
This is the first minute and 15 seconds of the Time Cop show ever to air.
See, they went for a kind of a different hat for Jack the Ripper. He looks more like kind of a cowboy in this than a top hat wearing gent.
Oh shit, maybe it was an American.
What brings you out on a night like this? Looking for some company? Are you all right? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? Lord, you're scaring me. Oh my god! Oh my god, you're right! You're scared!
Oh! Oh, uh-oh. My god, you're Jack!
But never fear, Time Cop is here.
Time Cop.
Here apparently to document this woman's brutal murder and not intercede in any way to help her.
Her acting. Oh my god, no, you're Jack!
It will probably shock both of you to learn that this show, too, was canceled before it finished an entire season.
After that level of quality.
I thought you were going to say after 10 seasons.
After that amazing pinnacle of quality television.
Yeah, the guy slowly draws the knife. Oh, my God, you're Jack. Yes,
my God, you are Jack the Ripper.
And, you know, it really does invite laziness that he is such a template villain. You know what I mean? Like, just that. You know, it's like, how do we, you know, we got this movie, we got this show Time Cop, where a dude goes back in time to solve crimes. What should we lead with?
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper. Ripper Jack. Here's a shitty YouTube movie, I guess.
Yep.
Is this also set in present day or?
I don't know. It looks like it's either in present day or they did a really bad job of making it look like it wasn't.
Okay. Neat. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the areas that Jack the Ripper stalked didn't look like that.
No.
And neither did the women he killed. At least they got the her being drunk part right.
Oh, it is in 1888. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't look a goddamn thing like 1888. Or that part of London. I'm Jack the Ripper. I'm gonna kill you. You know, I can get down with Jack the Ripper killing people and stuff, but man,
that looked like a fucking stupid film, dude.
You know what bothers me about Jack the Ripper, though?
What?
Misogynist.
Yeah.
Big fucking misogynist.
Maybe he just loved women so much he wanted to see what was inside them.
I just want to see what's in you. The places where the murders happen still exist. Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't think those geographic locations were wiped off the face of the fucking earth.
I'm just saying that from the way that was shot and from what we could see of the architecture and the street and the concrete curbs,
I mean,
it looks nothing like Whitechapel would have looked.
Jack the Ripper killed people in like slums and shit. You know, like there was prostitutes and drunks shambling around everywhere.
In a well-lit public space. Yeah, no, it wasn't like that. Nice little planters everywhere, benches for people to sit on.
Yeah.
No, no.
Pretty goddamn
It would have been fucking
weird.
Dingy and dark and, you know, it wouldn't have been, like you guys said, it wouldn't have been some fucking bright, well-lit area.
Jack the MGTOW, yeah. Yeah, you know, he's like, I don't need bitches. I just need to cut them open. That's all I need.
He was red-pilled, dude.
There was a Jack the Ripper TV movie made in 1988. So 100 years after Jack the Ripper, this is what they were doing with him.
This is a BBC movie.
London's huge metropolis was gripped by fear.
Gosh. Madden Whitechapel, X3, X3.
In the streets of Whitechapel. Women were being torn to pieces by a killer.
Torn to pieces.
Time after time.
What the fuck is with this time after time shit?
Time after time.
Were they trying to reference it?
Leading the manhunt was Scotland Yard's Inspector Frederick George Abilene.
Mary Nichols was a shilling whore. She wasn't killed for
damn, Michael Caine up in this bitch.
Yeah.
She wasn't even sexually assaulted. Yet somebody tore her to pieces in the street.
So find him.
Let me know if you hear him.
So find him.
I've seen him. The killer.
You saw the killer in a vision?
Look for a man with two faces.
That dude looks like he is Jack the Ripper, dude.
Not exactly, Miss Prentice. The hair is too long.
With shorter hair. You know who he reminds me of? Richard, that's who it is. Richard Mansfield, the American actor.
Oh, God. They're going to pin it on us?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we might be responsible for... Whoa, whoa.
What the fuck is happening?
Dude, two faces, dude.
What exactly is...
Man? Is he Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, too? Like the normal vampire. The fuck is going on in this movie?
I don't know.
I kind of want to watch this. I wanna know what the fuck is going on.
What do you want, Freddy?
Michael Caine was Jack the Ripper the whole time.
Everything you know about Mansfield.
Mansfield?
But you don't think I'm caught up in all that, do you?
All of what? I would just like to
make
you
your other face. Featuring Michael Caine yelling, I wanna know!
I'll never forget that coach inspector.
It's what? Like Michael Caine yelling at people, prostitutes, and just a bunch of fucking bullshit they added in because they didn't have much of a story.
It was an American what done it. It's like, what? But yeah. Fuck you. It was not. I mean, maybe it was.
I like how the story includes, they just throw an American actor in there. Like, some American guy's in town with two faces. They bring in a psychic. You know, I mean, what the fuck, dude? It's like,
what is going on?
Like, they
can just fill in the gaps anywhere you want.
Just had no idea. So it's like, I mean, I guess any story's fine. I mean, it's all bullshit anyway.
But it just goes to show you, it doesn't matter. It's the absurdity doesn't stop just because they fuck. Fucking hit, put them in the time or some shit.
The selling point.
Even when they try and sell a fucking like period piece about Jack the Ripper, it's filled with
someone
a bunch
in the
of nonsense.
Chat was like, he was an actor, you dolt. He was playing Jekyll and Hyde. I actually got that. I'm just wondering how he was able to change his face magically. Like, that kind of makeup effect takes like hours to apply, but he's suddenly just like in the middle of a scene, I'm look totally different with this convincing prosthetic all of a sudden. That was what I was kind of perplexed about, but okay, whatever. Why don't you just be a pedantic little faggot bitch?
You're a fucking idiot, TJ. That's why they were doing it.
You're dumb.
They're just trying to
fucking retard.
Trying to help you,
shit.
TJ. You need to accept people's help.
So you know what?
Accept help.
We have one more thing we pulled. There's, like I said, there's tons more references in, you know, film and all this other shit. But we pulled one last one that I think is pretty fun. You know, it's kind of in the tradition of the whole Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper thing, but it kind of updates Sherlock Holmes a little bit. This is a recent Batman movie that came out, Batman animated film. DC likes to put these out. This is called Gotham by Gaslight, and it's based, I mean, like, I don't know why they call it Gotham by Gaslight. They should just call it Batman versus Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, I mean, that would be cool.
Because that's what the fuck it is.
Well, all this shit is sold on the basis of Jack the Ripper, just like the shit we saw before. That's all it was like a bullshit story in Jack the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper, you don't know.
We threw him in.
I will say he looks pretty cool in this.
Yeah, kill that bitch.
Damn, dude. There's a
town preying on poor women, and the Gotham police stand twiddling their thumbs.
Stupid fucking Gotham police.
Your evening attire, sir. That was not the suit I need, Alfred.
I'm fucking Batman. Of the Ripper.
He's a skilled hunter, and he's just getting started.
You're studying. So now we have the answer to why Jack the Ripper stopped killing. Batman fucking caught his ass, dude.
With the help of Catwoman.
Dude, but fucking, and this one, Jack the Ripper's a fucking badass, like ninja, like hunter, dude. It's like the most dangerous game shit here. We talk like this, so you know it's old times. Save us, Batman. Oh, shit, dude. Fucking battling on a rooftop and shit. Oh, dude, everything's burning.
They're on a Zeppelin, aren't they? Was that Zeppelin?
That was
or something
a Zeppelin,
there.
Dude? Fuck.
I thought it was.
You know what, dude? Of all the shit that I looked at today, that's the coolest portrayal of Jack the Ripper that I saw.
Easily.
Period. You know what I mean? In a fucking Batman straight-to-video movie being released by Warner Brothers.
Well, you know what it feels like with a lot of them? It's like they want to commit to Jack the Ripper being real, but it's in like, then they add all this stupid, wacky shit. Whereas this one's just like, no, it's all, they take it really serious, and it's just kind of like, he's this fucking badass killer. And Batman has, and they just fucking set it in Gotham, and like basically if Batman existed in the 1800s.
It's just weird that's to me that, you know, Jack the Ripper really hasn't, he's been around for so long, over 100 fucking years, 130 some odd years now since he committed his crimes. And we've been, he just hasn't gotten less popular. Like that clip we just showed you is from 2017. I mean, it's just continuously being reimagined and stuff, but nobody has treated him really properly yet. Nobody's you know, he doesn't have this definitive portrayal yet. It seems like everybody misses the mark when they're trying to fill out the character of Jack the Ripper.
It's because no one knows who the fuck he was.
Right, but you know, we've had these absurd movie premises that have come along, like fucking Abraham Lincoln versus the vampires and shit, where dudes that weren't even really badasses are given badass action movie portrayals. And yet Jack the fucking Ripper doesn't have a badass action slash slasher, you know, murder mystery movie where he's portrayed really, really well. I mean, if there's one out there, I'm willing to be corrected. But I'm telling you, I looked at a lot of clips from a lot of this shit. And it just seems like he's abused more than anything in the media that covers him.
Well, it's like a lot of the movies and stuff, they revolve around the mystery of Jack the Ripper. It's not really how he was killing. It's who it was he. You know, they're really, a lot of it's kind of this focus of either it's like trying to catch him, like I saw time after time, or it's just like, who was he? What was he doing? How was he doing? We'll try to, like, you know, we have these leads. Let's try to track down the killer.
Yeah, it just
instead of establishing a killer,
it just seems like he's a cool enough villain, or you could fill him up with enough of your own attributes to make him a cool enough villain where we could have one of those Joker portrayals of Jack the Ripper that everybody remembers. But we don't really have that. I mean, the closest that I saw that came to a really good cinematic portrayal of him was the, you know, that 1927 Hitchcock film.
So, let's talk about some of the stuff we didn't talk about in this episode. We didn't get it all into the numerous conspiracy theories about him. We didn't get it all into suspects, which are still there's actually a bunch of people called Ripperologists who are to this day devoted to trying to figure out who Jack the Ripper is, to solve the mystery once and for all.
And many of them have solved the mystery.
Oh yeah, plenty of them have solved it.
Pointed the finger at some historical
figure.
There's
been over 100 people identified as being Jack the Ripper.
Dude, it was Winston Churchill.
Oh yeah.
He fucking did it, dude.
Including H.H. Holmes, the guy who built the crazy death house in was it Chicago?
Yeah.
Some people say he's Jack the Ripper. There's tons of stuff that we didn't even get to cover in this just because there was so much shit to go through. So if you guys like Jack the Ripper, if you'd like to see a sequel to this where we fucking cover more shit, be sure to give us a thumbs up to let us know, like, we were into this.
Yeah.
Let
us know in the comments, you know,
yeah,
reach
let us
out
know
to
if
it.
If you want to see us cover some more Jack the Ripper, it won't be the next episode or anything, but we might cover him again in the future because there is still more to go over.
And patrons, because your opinions matter five times as much as your average person's do, let us know as well on Patreon or elsewhere. If you're a patron and you want to hear more about Jack the Ripper, you want to see us try and solve the mystery.
Yeah, maybe we can each put forth a theory. You know who I think is Jack the Ripper?
Who?
Ted Cruz.
Damn, dude.
I'd buy it.
Did you get the announcement to make about the Prohibition show?
Oh, yeah. The Prohibition show for patrons only is happening on Saturday. We will be drinking and covering the topic of Prohibition this Saturday.
Sweet.
Correct?
Yeah. That's correct.
So patrons get two shows this week. They get a Friday show.
And a Saturday show.
And then the next day, a wasted ass dumpster fire of an attempt to cover a topic while we're all out of our mind on moonshine. By the way, I sampled some of the moonshine that we will be drinking on the show last night. You saw about how much I drank, TJ.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how my night went. I got cascadingly more drunk, immediately got into a meaningless fight with my girlfriend, and passed out for 3.5 hours. So this is going to be an insane fucking show.
It is
going to
be
probably
the most insane DFF episode ever.
I mean, there will be blood. There will be blood, dude.
Yes.
I'm hearing that George Bush is dead. I don't know if that's actually true.
What? Oh, is that true? George Sr.?
I'm hearing it from multiple people, so maybe it's actually true.
Dude.
I mean, I know he's been in really poor health for quite some time.
And his wife just died.
Yeah.
It says here that he's in intensive care, but the rumors are swirling that he's already passed. So,
and they're just waiting to announce. Yeah, wow.
It just hasn't
that happens
announced.
A lot of time when people are married for a long time. One of them dies and then just, you know,
the other one can't handle the stress and they just go like that.
Yeah. It's just like the stress of that is just too much for the old.
Or maybe he was killed
by Jack the Ripper.
He's
Think
back.
About it.
Jack's
about
back,
it.
And he's killed the ex-first lady. And
whatever happens,
the ex-president.
We'll be covering on Flash Fried Wednesday, I'm sure.
All right, so we will see you guys on Wednesday with Flash Fried. We will see our patrons on Friday with the Friday episode, which will also
Saturday.
Be on a serial killer, which one you get to guess. And then we will be doing a Prohibition episode for patrons only, also on Saturday. If you want to become and get in on that action, our Patreon is listed down below. We have over 2,300 patrons last I checked. We also are going to be doing a 12-hour show next month. And at this rate, it looks like it won't be long before we're doing a 24-hour show. So check out our Patreon down below. If you enjoyed the show, give it a thumbs up. Tell us if you want to see a sequel where we cover some more Jack the Ripper, because there is definitely more to go over. And with that, I guess that's pretty much it. Fuck off.
Yeah. Good night.